the next page, and hopefully that's on a larger piece of paper for everybody to be able to read. This is kind of the consolidation of all the previous schedules and assumptions, and we refer to this as the cash flow projections. So the way this schedule works is on the left-hand side, you have the budgetary year, and it probably would have been more clear on the assumption for tax rate, but the way Wisconsin law works and timing for tax collection is something that is built in 2020 and constructed in 2020, first becomes assessable in the January 1 of 2021, and the taxes due on that new assessed value first become payable in 2022. So there's always a two-year lag from construction to actual tax collection on property. So that's why you'll see the first 2 years of no increment, and that's assuming construction in 2020, begin to pay taxes in 2022. We assume that any available funds on hand at the end of the year that the city would maintain would earn interest and be invested. The next column is capitalized interest, and what that represents is for each one of the debt issuances, the infrastructure would have to go into place prior to development taking place, so we need to cover and carry that cost of interest for that waiting period to collect taxes. So we capitalize that in the borrowing, and it's included in the borrowing. So we have the cash in place to make the first couple of interest payments. And if you move to the right of that schedule, the first borrowing, that's taxable bonds, you'll see the first interest payment of $122,930. We'll have that cash on hand in order to make that payment. So the revenues are totaled there. The next several columns are the debt issuances that we forecasted to be needed to make the to raise the capital for those infrastructure improvements and the development incentive. So again, those are estimates at this time. We are estimating interest rates, we're estimating timing, but the goal here is to be able to determine if all of the project costs were undertaken and the development would result from the project undertaking, would it make financial sense to, and would this whole area be feasible? And the answer under this analysis is yes, it would be, that the flow of revenue based on the assumptions of development timing would generate enough money to pay for the projects that would be necessary to make that development happen. And in fact, the district would be able to close 1 year earlier than statutorily required. Again, there's a lot of assumptions going into this. Not all the projects may happen, not all the developments may happen, but again, as long as the city manages the TIF and undertakes projects in pace of development, it should be economically feasible. The balance of the project plan talks about issues and items that need to be addressed by the state. We talk about potential zoning changes if it's in conjunction with the city's master plan, and orderly development and items such as that. So that kind of concludes the overall broad picture that I wanted to discuss, but I'm happy to answer any questions, or Callie, if you have anything else that you feel is important for the commission to understand.
Kelly?
I don't. I think, Dawn, you did a nice job of giving an overview of what the TID 8 tax increment district will look like. But if any of you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Can you describe, Dawn, the chart on page 34?
Oh, certainly. That very last schedule, what is represented here is when a TIF district is created, and this is the power of TIF, the tax is collected on any property within the district. It's the same tax rate that property is on all property within the same school district. In this case, it's the Franklin School District. So the taxes that are collected.
This is the Franklin Oak Creek District.
Yeah, Franklin Oak Creek. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong side of the city. This is the Franklin Oak Creek School District. Thank you for correcting me on that. So the taxes collected for anybody that's located in the city of Franklin, in the Franklin Oak Creek School District, would pay the same tax rate. But the taxes all come to the city on any property that's located within the tax increment district, at least for the improvement on or the incremental value on all that property. So what it's illustrated here is all of the taxing entities, the school district, the county, the technical college, and MMSC will forego their tax collections during that life, and those dollars will come to the city instead to pay for these project costs. So this is to illustrate to the overlapping taxing entities their amount of taxes that would be supporting the TIF, and they would not receive over the life of the district. But in the pure sense of TIF, if the but-for question is always answered, this development wouldn't be there without TIF. So the taxing entities are not really losing this money. So the benefit is economic development takes place, and once the district is closing, everyone will have the benefit of gaining that new property tax base.
So the net of this is the county is in essence contributing $20 million to this TIF.
That's correct. So the county, the school district, everybody is helping support development. It just isn't all borne by the city.
Okay. Questions for Ms. Gunderson? Commissioner Leon.
So I have a number of concerns about the timing of this due to ongoing concerns and economic slowdown. I would preface it all by saying I'm generally supportive of these types of projects, but we're meeting on a night when a lot of members of the public aren't attending, presumably because of the Safer at Home. We're having some technical issues where, from a public hearing position, I don't want the... I want to avoid possibly not having anybody who may object to this to have all the to participate. And I do see the city attorney's letter. And then, you know, honestly, the biggest question I have for this, it all centers around, is this the right time to do this? And a very specific question that I would ask either to Callie or to Dawn is, in the assumptions that we're in here, was the current economic slowdown factored into the proposal, or was it done prior to 4 weeks ago?
So, Dawn, I'll handle the first part, and then the last part about taking into account potential economic slowdown, I may pass the baton back to you, but I'm going to try to address Commissioner Leon's other group of questions about your concern with the timing and your concern about the economic climate and those sorts of things. So you are not alone in having those concerns. These projects are very, very long, and so this started several months ago, and then there was about a 3 to 4 week time frame between the time that the public hearing notice were sent to the paper and the time that we're sitting here tonight. So a lot has happened in the last month, as we are all aware. And so one of the things that we did is we contacted the developer HSA, who has a real estate agreement with one of the property owners, Scott Biller. And that agreement states that as soon as Scott Biller can produce two large parcels that are shovel ready, Eric Ogden with HSA will purchase those properties. So in order to make that happen, which, by the way, will be a $25 million construction investment with 300,000 plus square feet of industrial spec space. It will be either one building or two. It is being designed to go either way. In order to make that happen, the city needed to provide water and sewer to the site. And so the city engineer, Glenn Morrow, and I coordinated working out what Glenn calls his bare minimum plan, which allows us to create an underground infrastructure line between Oakwood and South County Line Road to put in the water and the sewer and put in a lift station on the southern end of the property. So these activities are being done into four, which has the financial wherewithal plus a very nice cushion to do that existing current infrastructure. However, TID 8 is going to support the actual infrastructure that takes place on the property for the HSA development. So without creating TID 8, that project won't happen. With that development on that parcel will also be two additional parcels that will be available for two additional projects. So we had an opportunity that was going to bring some significant investment and tax base to the city, but only if we created the new TID. So that addresses part of why are we doing this now. The second part, are we crazy to be doing this now when there's a pandemic and if there's concern about the future economy? So I contacted several other highly respected, reputable developers who have well-known names in the greater Milwaukee community and asked them the same question. Would you consider doing a project in this current economy? What do you think is going to happen post-pandemic? And to the very last one, they all feel very bullish about the economy. They feel that the industrial market is going to be a deep V. They've all said that if we are prepared and we have a site with the logistics that we have right off the new Elm Road interchange in 27th Street, and we create as close as we can shovel-ready parcels for these developers, they will come. So given that feedback and the timeliness of the one project that we have on the hook that is prepared and committed to creating some increments, we felt that we were in a relatively strong position to move forward because these are 20 years long, and we believe that they will outweather whatever potential short-term blips we experience due to the current pandemic and economic condition. Did I answer your question?
Well, there's a little more to it, because I think Callie may be leaving you the impression that staff did this. Staff did this at the instruction of me and the Common Council. This also appeared before the Common Council two meetings ago. Same information was presented to the Common Council, where the Common Council made a decision to move forward with TID 4 and the expenditure to put in the sewer and the water and the lift station. Council said go. So the council agreed with the assessment that Callie just laid out for you. So I think that's important for you to know. The other point that needs to be reiterated, and this is a public hearing that I got to open here pretty quick, and you agree with that, don't you, Alderman Dandrea?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That expenditures aren't going to be made unless we have money to pay for them, the increment to pay for them. So this is just laying the groundwork. So anyway, so let me open a public hearing. Well, you were asking questions. Let's open a public hearing. So with that, I'm going to open a public hearing. Is there anyone from the public wishing to speak on this matter? Anyone from the public? Since there's no one from the public here, I'll close the public hearing and we'll continue. Commissioner Leon.
So this one, I'd have to defer probably to the commission as a whole and the city attorney, but I've only previously been involved with recommending one TIF district that was from the Balcom Park Commons area. And I don't remember it being particularly well attended or objections from those who considered it taking money and giving it to corporations or developers. But is that the case that when we have something like a proposal like this, do members of the public typically participate to state their objections in recent or even more than recent history?
I'd like to characterize it as, boy, I'd wish more people were here to intelligently articulate their preference either way. Is that pretty good? Typically, this is the audience we get. And just for people to understand, the only incentives on this plan is a $4,000 incentive for one potential. The
That's
four
it.
Million.
4 million.
4 million. 4 million. I'm sorry, 4 million.
And to be clear, that is for, we have a itemized list, and that's for all public infrastructure improvements that will then be deeded back to the city.
Kelly, I'm gonna, this is Dawn again. I just want to make another comment too, is what's happening with the creation of the tax increment district project plan is it creates the boundaries to allow for the city to incur costs to promote development. So you've identified an area you want to see.
You've got
developed.
Some conditions.
You've identified the cost that would be necessary for that entire area to develop. It's not a commitment that you'll spend any of that money. And I think the mayor really hit it on and the head saying that it will be, the cost will be paced with the development. And it's not, you know, the only upfront exposure you have is that first project you're undertaking now, and you're putting agreements in place and you've got assurances that they'll develop. And the timing of that money, I think it's even spelled out that they won't get that money all up front. It'll be phased out based upon occupancy taking place. So, you know, the development would have to start happening first. And any of these other costs, they will be publicly owned infrastructure. The infrastructure will be there, and the opportunity will open itself up. But it's a plan. It's not a budget. It's not a commitment to spending the money. And I think the important thing is that the cost be paced with the development. Now, TID 4, that was a district that in there, I'm recollecting that was created in 2004. I can't recall exactly.
Five,
now,
actually, but yes.
Some of this property was five. Some of this property was in that district, and it did develop in that period of time. However, the value that was generated and the tax, I mean, the reason some of these projects can be undertaken now with the revenue to TIP 4 is it has been successful, even though not every piece of parcel developed within the area. So in 20 years, this may not all develop, or it may all develop. I guess time will tell us.
Alderman Dandrea.
Commissioner Leon, we would love situations and development that we would not have to hand out monies to, okay? But in today's environment, as we've seen in projects before us earlier today, as well as ones earlier, if we don't come to play a fair game, we are not even given opportunity to get to the game. So we have to allow some flexibility so we can play. If we don't, we're not even given the opportunity to bid, because they're going to go to another community that is willing to do it. So it's a tough environment today, but that's the environment.
Understood. Commissioner, we'd like to hear from the city attorney on it in terms of people abiding by safer at home order. I mean, are we at any risk as a commission making a recommendation on this in these current conditions?
No.
Okay.
A man of few words sometimes.
Government operations facilities are exempted as essential services from the emergency orders, and there were numerous discussions on the telephone, conference calls with the Wisconsin League of Municipalities, village and city attorneys statewide, and there was a lot of discussion about public meetings, including public hearings, and I see the wave changing where there's more Zooming, et cetera, as these conference calls carry on. But for the first couple of weeks, maybe plus, the thought was public hearings should still remain where persons in attendance are the persons who speak. And that was during the course of the Safe at Home order.
In my conference calls with my fellow mayors and village presidents, that is the currently the gold standard. Public hearings are for the public who attend. So, anyway. I don't know that I like that, but it is what it is. Mr. Moore.
Just personal, I've talked to a lot of people that the other night Calum Council meeting, I think, had a lot of people that watched it in live streaming, and I know there's people live streaming tonight that we don't see them here, but I think we're probably getting more people involved in the process now than we did a month ago. So that's just my personal. So as far as the Common Council goes, I mean, whatever we make a decision here, it'll go to Common Council. You know, be back before the public, and like they said about a month ago, Common Council talked about all this and gave us instructions to go ahead. I did talk to Scott Billers today, who's developing that part in the middle. They're full speed ahead. They're going gung ho. If we don't do this, it's not a threat or anything, but we're really cutting him off at the knees, because you know they've got commitments in place. They've got contractors that they're lining up. We were talking about how to bid their project, but they've, you know, people put money on the table, and they're rolling. They're not stopping. So anything short of the governor stopping all construction projects going on, I'm not seeing the construction aspect of the economy slow down. In fact, because everything else has slowed down, that seems to put more emphasis on the fact that people found something they can still do, and they're moving full speed ahead. So I guess I'd lay all those things out there that's what we're seeing right now.
Mr. Commissioner Leon.
And I think the city engineer just addressed my natural next question. Is our projects adversely impacted if we don't make a decision on this tonight, or if we recommend against it? So thank you for that explanation, not just from the city engineer, but from the other members of the commission, so that we can put these things as part of the public record.
And if I could clear up one more misconception out there. So we are, as Callie said, we're doing some projects right now with the sewer line, the water line. Even if nothing else happened, those projects are expected to not cost the city anything. It's being paid through by the TID. So this is really for all the new development. I just want to clarify that. I know there's some confusion. It sounds like we've already gone ahead and we're depending on builders for this project that we're putting in. That's not really true, although that's going to help. So hopefully that cleared up some misconceptions.
Commissioner Burkhardt or Haley? Mr. City Attorney.
Have a question for Don with regard to the map on page 21 of the project plan, the map for proposed improvements and uses. I think the proposed uses need to be placed upon that map, and I understand that within the areas of the district, it may show commercial improvement area, it may show just state industrial use area, or it might be commercial / industrial use, and it might just be words, but I think that has to be added under the statutory requirements. And I did prepare the city attorney opinion letter and did sign it. However, I think that should be conditioned upon designating the proposed uses on the page 21 map. Is that appropriate and correct? Do you agree?
That would be helpful. As Callie, if your team can maybe incorporate, kind of identify what areas are proposed for commercial, what areas are proposed for industrial. The primary reason is the DOR. I'm getting a little feedback back, so I don't know if somebody has a mic off.
It's Haley's dog.
The primary reason the DOR looked at this map is they want to take every project cost and be able to map it out on the map. So, you know, the most important thing is that we've got all the project costs identified. But I agree with you, Jesse, that it would be helpful to kind of identify what areas are intended for what type of development. So, Callie, I don't know, I would rely on your staff again, or the city staff, to help us with that.
Yes. So when I did the base parcel table, there were columns that asked for the number of acres of industrial and another number of acres of commercial. So I did some estimates, and some of the parcels I split 50-50, depending on where they were located in the park. And others I said, well, that's definitely going to be industrial. And others I said, well, that's right on Elm Road. That's going to eventually be commercial. The difficulty in this is, and I agree, and that hopefully the base parcel data is sufficient for that, but as some of these businesses have aging business owners who don't have succession plans, the properties along Elm Road are going to naturally turn over during the life of this TID. I would expect that in its place there would be commercial along Elm Road, and that there would be more industrial as you get deeper to the west and the south. So given that, Dawn, does the base parcel data provide enough detail about commercial versus industrial?
This is page 11.
What the attorney's referring to is the statute asks to have a map showing proposed improvements and uses. So what we're missing on the map is the proposed uses. So if, while I know you went through a great exercise of putting up the parcel list and identifying, if we could kind of take that breakout on that parcel list and somewhat identify on this map, it'd be helpful.
Yeah, that's not a problem. That's just shading, and that shouldn't be a problem at all.
Shading.
Yeah.
And so I would do it in somewhat the same fashion you did. So if you split a parcel in half, split the parcel in half for the shading.
Yeah. Yep. I'll work with our GIS department and make sure that that's done.